As her baby wails, 17-year-old Bertha Parker does her best to comfort the infant. She's frightened for her life as the wagon pitches and rolls hard over the Mexican desert. She glares at the driver, knowing full well that he could slow down if he wanted to. He looks back at her and grins, making her fume even more. Bertha squints, trying to determine where they are. She has no idea where they're going, but she does know that the worst has happened. She and her child have been kidnapped by her own husband.
Brains of the people are more interesting than the looks, I think.
Electric power is everywhere present in a limited quantity.
Jane, if you really want something, and you work hard, and you take advantage of opportunity, and you never give up.
You're listening to Human Angle, a podcast that focuses on the hidden lives of scientists and asking what makes them human. I'm your host, Kim Castleberry, here with my co-host, Kenna Castleberry.
Thank you, Kim, and thank you to all of our listeners out there. With your support, we can continue to do these episodes. If you're a new listener, you can find our show on all your favorite podcasting platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and others. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to our show. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with your friends and family.
Today we're discussing Bertha Bertie Parker, the Native American female archaeologist of Abenaki and Sikena Desert, who found evidence that man and beast coexisted. She contributed decades of dedicated work to both the field of archaeology and Hollywood, all the while advancing representation of Native Americans in the United States. In this episode, we'll discuss her upbringing, her research and discoveries, and her later life. Research for this episode comes from various online articles about Bertha.
Bertha was born in 1907 in Chautauqua County, New York. It's said that she was born in a tent on one of her father's, Arthur's, excavation sites. Her mother, Beulah Talamont, later Folsom, was an actress. As a teen, Bertha and her mother reportedly performed with the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus as part of the Pocahontas show. Her father, Arthur C. Parker, was an archaeologist and the first president of the Society for American Archaeology. As a child, she assisted her father in his excavations. Many scholars believe that this is how Bertha found a passion for her field. Her parents divorced in 1917 when Bertha was 7, and the Tahamats, Elijah, Margaret, and Beulah, relocated to Los Angeles, with Bertha in tow, to work in Hollywood films. Bertha spent the majority of the rest of her childhood acting in Hollywood. That must have been a very interesting childhood.
Yeah, especially during that time.
Yeah, especially during the 1920s. That might have been a really good time, actually, to be in Hollywood, depending. In 1924, when Bertha was just 17, she married Jose Palin, a Hollywood extra and Yuma Indian. The following year, she gave birth to their daughter, Wilma May Billy Palin. However, Palin was an abusive husband, and in 1929, when Bertha tried to divorce him, he kidnapped her and took her to Mexico, along with her mother, Beulah, and her daughter, Billy. The three women were rescued by Mark Raymond Harrington, an archaeologist who was a good friend of Bertha's father and the husband of Bertha's aunt, Endeka Parker. After the rescue, Beulah returned to Hollywood, but Bertha and her daughter remained in Nevada, working on M.R. Harrington's archaeological expedition at a site called Mesa House. In exchange for room and board for her and Billy, Bertha worked as the expedition cook, and eventually worked her way to the expedition secretary and assistant archaeologist at the Southwest Museum. In the early days as camp cook, Bertha would spend the first half of the day cooking, and when that was taken care of, she would spend the rest of the day out in the field, searching along with the rest of the crew for archaeological treasures. In 1930, one of Bertha's afternoon archaeological sessions produced something phenomenal. While on this expedition, Bertha explored the various chambers of the Gypsum Cave in her own time. Being of slim build with slender hands, she was able to access some of the hard-to-reach crevices. Hidden away among the rocks, she found what would prove to be one of the most important finds of Gypsum Cave, the skull of a rare species of giant sloth, Nothorotheum shastens. The ancient sloth remains were found close to human tools, a discovery with possibly far-reaching implications in the timing of human migration to North America. The discovery made headlines, bringing renewed support and funding for the expedition from Caltech. While on this expedition, Bertha also discovered the site of Corn Creek after seeing a fossil camel bone protruding from an eroding lake bed. Wow, she's really good at finding things. Part of the renewed efforts and funding came in the form of new expedition members, with one individual being James Thurston, a foremost Canadian paleontologist. As it turns out, the finding of the sloth and subsequent events held significance for more than just Bertha's career. In 1931, within a year of meeting, Bertha and Thurston were married. It was a union hailed in Master Key, the Southwest Museum's journal, as an auspicious event, given that archaeologist Bertie and paleontologist Thirsty, Thurston's nickname, have decided to work out together the problems of life.
Bertie and Thirsty.
Hey, it sounds like a Bertie. It sounds like a band name. Thirsty Bertie.
Thirsty Bertie. Unfortunately, the high hopes and good spirits did not last. The following February, Thurston suffered a heart attack and died. In the subsequent years, Bertha was frequently ill, and the economic turmoil of the Great Depression put great strain on the Southwest Museum. Pay cuts were made, and the future of the museum was uncertain, but Bertha's excellent reputation helped her retain her job as an assistant archaeologist. In a memo to the director, M. R. Harrington explained that, quote, Bertha was one of the most useful members of the Gypsum Cave expedition, and her work figured largely in the successful outcome of the project, end quote. Following his death, Bertha herself suffered a protracted illness and moved back to Los Angeles. She was employed by the Southwest Museum, initially as an administrator, but later as an archaeologist and ethnologist. Throughout the next four decades, Bertha published a large number of archaeological and ethnological papers in Master Key, Southwest Museum's journal. She wrote on subjects such as Kinchine dolls and carved human-like forms, usually with a spiritual significance, which are particularly associated with Pueblo Native Americans and California Native American baby cradles. She also wrote several articles on the Yurok tribe, Native Americans who lived in Northwest California near the Klamath River and Pacific Coast. This shift in her work is not surprising, as at this time there was a growing movement of Indian rights in California, as Hollywood Indians and Northern California Indians began uniting, and Bertha was an active participant of this movement. During this time, another change occurred in Bertha's life. In 1936, she married Espera Oscar de Corte, better known as Iron Eye Cody, or Crying Indian, from the famous anti-littering ad. Oh my goodness!
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that ad?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Where he's on the freeway?
Yep. Yeah, that she married that guy.
That was so impactful for me.
Oh yeah?
Growing up. It really was.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah. Wow. Crying Indian from the famous. That's interesting.
Yep.
The two had met in Hollywood when they were younger. Both were part of the small community of Native American actors in Hollywood. With Oscar's support, Bertha continued in her job at the museum and her newfound role in activism. Unfortunately, tragedy struck again when in 1942, Bertha's daughter, Billy, died from an accidental gunshot wound while on vacation with her grandmother. The emotional toll of Billy's death, combined with the long-standing health issues, led Bertha to step down from her position at the museum, though she continued on as a consultant. Following the tragic and accidental death of Bertha's daughter, Billy, she and Cody adopted two Native American sons, Arthur and Robert. Bertha spent the rest of her career back in Hollywood. She worked with Oscar as part of Iron Eyes Enterprise, a consulting business that advised films regarding Native American culture and dress. The couple also hosted a TV program about Native American folklore. She worked as an advisor on programs and films depicting Native Americans and consequently influenced how Indigenous people, their histories, and their cultures were represented in the media. Furthermore, Bertha and Cody were heavily involved in the success of the Los Angeles Indian Center, which provided support and a meeting place for Native Americans relocating to the area. Bertha died in 1978 at the age of 71. Upon her death, she was buried with a tombstone that simply read, Mrs. Iron Eyes Cody. Of course, Bertha was more than just Iron Eyes Cody's wife, or Mark Harrington's niece, or Thurston's widow. Her hard work, intellect, tenacity, and skill meant she had become a huge success and well-respected authority in her field. She made a major contribution to discovering, recording, and understanding the history and culture of Indigenous people in the U.S., and her influence cannot be underestimated. She was, without doubt, an extraordinary talent and true trailblazer.
What a life.
Yeah. I'm thinking of her heritage and what she lived through.
The fact that she was married, I think, 3 times? Mm-hmm. I lost track when I was doing research, to be honest. I was like, okay, here's another husband. Here's another one. But that's what you do back then, you know? You get married to 3 husbands.
Well, I think part of it was...
life expectancy wasn't that good.
Yeah, and really, you know, 2 can do better in life than 1, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially,
absolutely.
I think, as a woman back then.
Yeah, but the fact that she was kidnapped by her first husband was just... I was reading that, and I was like, the crazy things she must have lived through.
Yeah.
And that's just one example. You know, mm-hmm. the fact that she found this giant sloth fossil in a cave.
Right.
Is another one.
Well, I mean, it seems like you said, I mean, she had, I'm curious, you know, the mention of her thin frame and long fingers, you know, it seemed like she has a knack for discovery. Right.
Yeah.
And comes by it honestly with her dad initially, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah, not only that, but I think, like, what was I going to say? I think the other thing, too, is this contrast between her doing the archaeology and then also doing the Hollywood stuff, too,
mm-hmm.
where she takes her role in Hollywood and not only does she kind of walk around or walk through this role, but also makes it more than it needs to be by supporting Native Americans, by encouraging Native Americans, by teaching Hollywood about the culture. I think it's just fabulous.
Yeah. And then adopting.
I know.
2 sons.
Yeah. So thank you for listening to our episode on Bertha Parker. Be sure to listen to our next episode on Anandibai Joshi, the first Indian woman doctor in America.